This has gone beyond Tulsa.
Yes.
First of all, in the United States, some
yes.
other states that
yes.
have modeled your plan.
Yeah, we now have a little lighthouse in central Mississippi, also in central Kentucky, and Lord willing, we're getting ready to open one in Oklahoma City. But it actually goes beyond that, too, in that years ago, God, in fact, we're working on a third book right now that will share with our world how God, it's called God's Divine Connections, how God divinely orchestrated the beginning of our outreach to places around the world. I had never known conditions existed like they exist in many developing nations. I had never known the paradigm that existed toward children with special needs. I had never known that there are children with special needs that are taken out in Africa, that are taken out to the bush and left abandoned, left to die. I had never known there were children actually put to death because they're different. I hired an amazing young woman, Margie Stone. She was a licensed psychometrist, an occupational therapist, and a neurodevelopmental specialist. I was blessed to be able to hire her. But when I did, she said, I would love to come. I would love to serve as your educational director, but I'm committed to missions. And I will still want to take some short-term mission trips. If you will allow me to do that, I will come on staff. Now, I knew what a contribution and what a contribution she did make. So I allowed her to come on. And after her first trip, mission trip, she came back. That day, center was closed. I was down there working by myself. She came in at that facility at 36th and Yale. And it was several years after we had located, that we had built the building. God just so blessed us after that. We had computers in every classroom. We had state-of-the-art equipment. It was just amazing. Margie walked in. I said, we had sent with her, we'd had an overabundance of Crayolas and some little art supplies we'd sent with her on this trip, mission trip. And I said, how did it go? And she's telling me all about it. And then she kind of sighed and she said, Marcia, we have so much here. And in other nations, they have nothing. She said, let me just give you an example. She said, the Crayolas you all sent, she said, we passed them out to the children. And they sat holding them in their hand. They had no idea what a crayon was or what to do with it. She said, Marcia, we've got computers in every classroom. We have got trained professionals that have so much to offer. Somehow we've got to reach out to our world. And Margie really, and God, really spoke to my heart that day. And I didn't understand it, but I felt that God was saying, I have done this so that you can reach around the world and impact your world, impact these children across the globe. And God just began to orchestrate. Probably the next significant step that occurred that we write about in this book is a young social worker in mainland, well, she was actually in Hong Kong, and while it was still England, a part of England. She heard that in mainland China, in Nanning, China, that there were orphanages where the conditions were really, really deplorable. And she couldn't believe that it was true, what she was hearing. She just couldn't imagine. So she decided to go there, and she did. She found 5 babies to a crib, no diapers. The cribs were rusting. She found death rooms where they would take babies when they were dying and leave them, abandon them in those death rooms. Mm-hmm. And so it broke her heart. And so she had gone just for a day or two. She said she decided to stay. And that at the end of the first day, she went to the director of this orphanage and she said, could I take a baby back to the hotel with me? Now, can you imagine that happening here? And he said, sure. So she said, I'd like to take this baby in the death room. He said, no, you don't want to take that. Take a healthy baby with you. And she said, I'd like to take that baby. And so she took that baby, took it back to the hotel, and she began to nurse it back to health. And stayed, extended her stay, and continued, and was able to nurse it back to health. Took it back and got another one, but then began to realize this one began to fail to thrive again because of the environment. Long story short, her name is Kit Ying Chan. There's been a Reader's Digest article written, a story written about her. She became so frustrated with the whole situation that she thought, you know, there's got to be something that can be done. I need homes. I need homes for these babies. And she began to do some research and found out that the required retirement age at that time for women in China was 45. And she thought, there's all these 45-year-old women and older out there that could be foster mothers to these babies. And so she went to the government and she proposed a foster parenting program, first ever there in China, and began a foster parenting program and began finding homes for these babies and making a huge difference. The particular official that she had worked with happened to be a very kind, caring individual, knew that they had a lot of children with special needs. And so he asked her if she had training in that area. And she said, no, I don't. He said, can you get us training? We don't know how to help these kids. She didn't know, but she had graduated from University of the Nations in Hawaii, Youth with a Mission. So she contacted her dean in Hawaii. Okay, so now we've gone from Hong Kong to mainland China to Hawaii. She contacts this dean in Hawaii and asks her if they could provide. She said, we've got an incredible opportunity here. And, you know, can you provide it? Dr. Carol Boyd said, no, we cannot. But I know somebody who might have an answer. So Dr. Boyd in Hawaii contacts Maureen Harbinson, a British lady who's now living in Canada, and asks Maureen if she happens to know of anyone who would be able to provide such help. Maureen has just returned from a trip to Tulsa where she volunteered at the Little Lighthouse. And Maureen says, I know just the place. Uh-huh. So Maureen tells her about it. And long story short, a few months later, three government officials, communist government officials from China who had never stepped foot in the United States, Maureen from Canada, Dr. Boyd from Hawaii, and Kit Ying Chan from China, and the head of her organization, Youth with a Mission, all come to the Little Lighthouse Tulsa. And that was the birth of our program, because they invited us to come to China to begin providing training to their people on how to work with children with special needs. And that was the beginning also of our understanding of the need to change the paradigm. So my job, my role when I went, was to share success stories of people with special needs. You know, oh my goodness, there's phenomenal success stories. There's the woman who has no arms that flies an airplane. There is, you know, the kid with Down syndrome that's the movie star now. I mean, there's so many wonderful success stories of individuals with special needs. So I was able to share those success stories, including one about my own daughter, and one of our team members, who's a physical therapist, has a learning disability, and was able to share how she had overcome that. So just to give them a vision of what these people can do, you know. So since that time, we have sent teams into 14 nations and provided training in 14 different nations. Now we have a online, it's called the Academy. I don't know if they mentioned it at the luncheon, but it's called the Academy. And it is free online training in multiple areas of special education and therapy for anyone in the world. They can go on, and now therapists can even receive CEUs for those courses. We have two young men that came from Kenya, and they have now built a school They started out with 14 students, and they now have hundreds of students that they are teaching. They will eventually move more into special ed. Right now, they've just started with kids that didn't have a chance to have school. When they were telling us about it, they said, you know, they have to walk home 2 miles for lunch, and then they walk back 2 miles for the afternoon session. I said, why in the world, why don't they just bring their lunch? And they said, because their parents don't have their lunch yet. It takes them that morning time to be able to get food for them. So, yeah. So now we are reaching India, have reached Haiti, China, Philippines, Russia, anyway, many others.
With your expertise that goes there, and any funding obviously is provided by the countries or even the governments.
Sometimes the countries, and otherwise at this time and up to this time, we have continued only using earmarked funds for that.
Okay.
In other words, it's individuals who really want to see us reach children around the globe. Otherwise, the funds stay here in Tulsa.
Yeah. Well, I did visit the little lighthouse, had the luncheon and all. I was struck by the different programs that you had to accommodate the many needs. That was amazing to me. And I was thinking, well, how did you come up with that? But I suppose professionals were able to write a program for people at every, or children at every different levels. I was struck by when the building seems to be not straight hallways. If those of you who drive by that building, there's a curve to it. And tell us why.
Our architect was aware that that children with autism don't do well with corners. And so he built the whole thing in a curve. So there are no, like, walk down the hall, take a left. It's all built on a curve. He used this approach, which has been amazing. In fact, I was leading a tour one day of a family from California. I did not know that the teenage daughter was on the spectrum. And the parents commented to me, they said, she is so calm. They were just amazed at how calm she was as we were walking down this hallway. There's just something very calming about it. So yeah, just the very design of it was specially built. We have sensory rooms. I think probably one thing I would love our world to know, and one of the most unique things about the Little Lighthouse, besides the fact that it is Christ-centered and it's tuition-free, probably the most unique thing is the transdisciplinary team approach that we use. In other words, in most settings, a child would be in an educational setting and then they might be pulled out for physical therapy, brought back to the classroom, pulled out for speech therapy, brought back to the classroom, so on and so forth. Whereas we have speech therapists, occupational therapists, physical therapists, we have low vision specialists, we have assistive technology specalists, so many different kinds of specializations, and they all work together so that a child that is in the classroom being worked with by the physical therapist, the teacher can see what the physical therapist is doing with that child. When that physical therapist leaves, that teacher can continue that same thing, whereas a lot of times it's out of sight. And so vice versa. So the therapists and the teachers all work together as a transdisciplinary team. That's very, very difficult to find.